as KU with a big win last Saturday, then a tough loss on Monday in Lubbock. Brian, let's start with the Baylor win. I was at a youth basketball tournament, didn't get to see the first part. Well, actually, I did get to see the first part as we were at a local establishment, and then we got in the car and we listened to the last part of the game, listening to you and Greg. And I still was trying to I didn't know McCullough wasn't going to play until I saw him on the bench there at the establishment they showed on television, and I'm sitting there like, how's Kansas going to win this game? And yet they found a way. And at the same time, after the game, Bill Self was really ticked off with the way they ended the game. And I think if you had told him before the game, no, McCullough, you're going to beat Baylor by three, he would have been ecstatic. Instead, he was ticked off.
Yeah, he was obviously not pleased with the way we closed the last 4 minutes, because we hit just one of our last 10 shots, and that was DeJuan Harris playing on one foot because he rolled his ankle and missed a couple of minutes, comes back in a really gutty and impressive way, and finds a way to hit the biggest bucket of the game. But you had kind of a meltdown in the last 30 seconds of that game from Nick Timberlake, which really drew the coach's ire. He had two missed defensive assignments that led to wide-open three-point attempts. I had a bad pass turnover and also missed the front end of a one-and-one that kept the door open. So, to quote some of the coaches, it's about as bad as you can finish a game. Having said that, I really want to be positive with Nick. And I know it's been tough for Coach, to throw a whole lot of roses anybody's way the last week or so. But this is a guy that in the last two games, at least offensively, has shown some flashes of what they thought they were getting when he first transferred from Towson. And I know the coach quote that we had on Monday night when he said, even bad teams have leading scorers. Everybody's got to have a leading scorer, so let's not get too excited about 13 points here or 8 or 9 points there. But the point is, he's showing a pulse offensively, and we've got to have something from this bench. So even though whether it's Saturday that you're asking me about or Monday when he led Kansas in scoring, but Coach Self said to Craig early in the postgame, if you guys picked the player of the game from this game, that was a mistake on your part. You could pick two from Saturday and leave it at that. Even though he said that, I think, if we take a deep breath and step back and say, yeah, it's not been pretty at all last game or the final 5 minutes of the previous game, but at least we are seeing, in a microcosm type sense, a little bit of that awakening of Nick from a confidence standpoint. Now, the mistakes he made at the end of the Baylor game, that could end your season if it happens in March, and that'll make sure he's not on the floor in those moments if Self has any choice in the matter, due to player availability and that kind of thing. But the fact that he was able to move past that horrible last 30 seconds versus Baylor and have some really nice contributions on Monday, I think is a good sign in the right direction. And I know your listeners are probably thinking, oh, Brian's always Mr. Positive, sunshine and rainbows. But, hey, man, we need something from that bench, 6-9. And it's been nice to see both he and El Marco, who are forced into bigger roles of late based on our health situation. We've seen both those guys, I think, take some baby steps in the right direction. And, hey, man, we'll take any progress we can get from a bench situation that has been about as head-scratching as we've seen in Bill's 21 years here.
Assuming McCullough comes back at some point and can play effectively, and you just talked about how you're Mr. Positivity. Here's a positive spin on this, okay? I was watching the game, and I knew it was just a bad night. I mean, they couldn't make anything. KJ had a rough night. Harris had a rough night playing on sprained ankle. Dickinson had a rough night. And we know even McCullough's healthy, if some of those got main four struggle, it's going to be tough to win, especially obviously on the road where Kansas is 1-5 in the Big 12. And in Texas Tech, even when McCullough healthy, KU might not have won that game. Tech is a very good team, play well at home, ambush KU with a lot of threes, which has been a problem for KU in some of these games on the road in particular. But assuming McCullough comes back and can play effectively, could this be a blessing in disguise from this standpoint? It may not help you win a Big 12 championship, but the big picture at the end of the year, of course, is the NCAA tournament. Many teams are remembered on how they finished or how they floundered in March. Could it be a blessing in disguise that Jackson and Timberlake have to play big minutes because there's not a lot of other options, like the other night with seven scholarship players, that it may be tough to watch at times now. It may be difficult to win in these situations, especially on the road, but that down the line, come March, these guys have at least established and built up some confidence to where, and maybe even a little bit of trust in Bill Self to where they could have some big moments to help this team, survive in advance?
100%. And I think I'll take it one step further and say that had Kevin remained healthy, even though Bill, heading into last week, you know, told us on the heels of the K-State loss, he was going to make a concerted effort to rest his five starters more and let them know when they were coming out so they knew exactly where the finish line was before the next, you know, chance to catch their breath. Even though he was going to make a stronger effort to do that, your tendency and where you feel compelled, you know, in the heat of the battle is to ride with the guys you trust. And no matter how much he was going to try to down throttle on their minutes and ease up on them, you're going for these wins. And I think it would have been hard for him to make Kevin go from 38 minutes to 33 minutes that easy. And now he's been forced to by having Kevin out the last couple of the games and three of the last five. So I think what you're going to see ultimately, not only is a healed up and rejuvenated Kevin McCullough, but you're going to see a team that, as you just alluded to, is more well-rounded with a little more trust factor for the bench because they've been forced to play those guys, and they're naturally gaining a little bit of confidence. Coach hopefully will regain more trust. I mean, had the Nick Timberlake last 30 seconds of the Baylor game not happened, he'd have a lot more trust in Nick right now. And so what I'm getting at is, if you'll remember in 2022, Remy Martin missed more than 3 weeks with his injury, and then he came back a rejuvenated, explosive player, and KU was forced to, you know, find a spark without him for the better part of a month, but then all of a sudden you reintroduce him to the mix, and you're so much more dynamic because of it. My hope is that Kevin is rejuvenated, healed up, and we see, you know, an epic month of March run out of him, and quite frankly, he'll need to because, you know, he still has aspirations for a lot of the individual accolades this season and NBA consideration and all that. And if you miss too much time in the middle of the year, that can have an adverse effect. And so he's going to need a big final push, and hopefully he'll have his legs back underneath him. I think the other guy we're not talking about that needs to get his legs back is Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah.
And he's been, to be honest, these last three halves, going back to second half versus Baylor when he was 1 of 9, and then the other night I think he hit 2 shots in 12 attempts. I mean, he has been not even close to what he's capable of. He's missed a lot of bunnies, a lot of flat-footed shots where he just, as Bill said, looks like his legs aren't there. And so they're doing all they can to rest these guys between games when we've had Saturday, Monday turnarounds. There's nothing you can do between Saturday and Monday.
Yeah.
But you can absolutely sit them down between Monday and next Saturday. And then the good news is next week we don't have a midweek game, and so everybody's going to get ample rest as they try to recoup there. It would be my hope for this team that, you know, you're talking about Texas at home on the 24th, that not only is Kevin completely healed and back, but Hunter looks a little bouncier, and you know, DeJuan's got some ample rest. And as you head into the last couple of weeks of the regular season, this is a team that has a full tank of gas and looks much more dynamic than what we've seen, because it's been a combination of playing in the toughest league in America, not having any depth, and then having some pretty brutal scheduling quirks going Saturday to Monday in consecutive weeks where the Saturday game was a national epic showdown, KU Houston, KU Baylor with ESPN Game Day, all that. And then you have to play on the road in both cases 48 hours later. Again, it sounds like excuses, but that's just being factual. And that would be hard for any team to flip the switch and come back to, but especially a team that's walking wounded and tired and having multiple guys out. So I don't think we should be surprised that they've lost these last couple of games on the road. We're obviously disappointed and somewhat embarrassed that it happened as bad as it did by 29 the other night. But if you look at all the tea leaves and the factors surrounding it, it's probably pretty predictable that you would go 2-0 at home in those Saturday Mondays, but 0-2 on the road. And now you just hope you can, you know, come back as a healthier, more refreshed team here in about 10 days and see what the rest of the season can look like from there. But between now and then, a major opportunity at Oklahoma, because your last two road games after this week are in Waco and in Houston. You'll be underdogs, and I don't want to say significant underdogs, but you'll be decisive underdogs in both. So this is a great opportunity, whether Kevin plays or not, to prove you can get another road win, because otherwise, I mean, when have you ever seen a Kansas team go 1-8 on the road in league play? I mean, that never happens. So they need to find a way to get something to happen this Saturday. And if so, then anything is possible in the last couple of weeks after that, because, as I said, they'll hopefully be a much healthier and much more re-energized team at that point.
Quick update on McCullough. What do we know right now?
Well, we'll know more after today's practice at 3 o'clock. You know, he went through the walkthrough and the game day shoot-around, which is what we call practice on game day, that is roughly 6 hours before tip-off. He did that on Monday in Lubbock. You're not sprinting up and down the floor as much, but you're doing more than the name would suggest. You know, you hear game day shoot-around, you think 12 guys just jacking shots.
Right.
No, I mean, they're going through drills, and they're running some offensive and defensive sets, and he did some stuff, but he wasn't pushing it. And he wasn't going to play that day regardless, because Bill Self has said and reiterated this week, if he doesn't practice in the days leading up, we're not going to play him in a game. And that's not a punishment thing. That's a, he doesn't want to just have the guy's first exposure on the floor in truly figuring out for himself, Kevin that is, how hard he can go and what he has in the tank. He doesn't want that to be in a game day setting. He wants him to turn it loose a day or two before, see how the knee reacts, see how his stamina holds up, that kind of thing. So today and tomorrow are pivotal in determining his status for Saturday. If he doesn't practice today, he'll need to get into practice tomorrow. You hear the same thing all the time in the NFL with the injury reports on Thursday and Friday. We're just not used to talking about it in those terms with hoops, but that's where you're at with a multi-week injury like this one. And so we'll see what he can do in the next 48 hours. But if he doesn't play, you will have then gone, because of that open date midweek of next week, you will have gone from the 6th of February to the 24th without him having any game action.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close to shutting a guy down with a bone bruise and expecting it to be fully healed as you're going to get. It would be with 100% expectancy, barring a setback, obviously, that he would be back for the Texas game. But my hope is he's there Saturday. That's not based on anything. That's hope. That's not a prediction.
Right.
But we need him. I mean, that's so obvious.
Yeah.
And you don't pluck a midseason first-team All-American off the roster at 20 points a game and one of the top 15 defenders nationally and expect this team to just hop along with no adverse effect. And we took it on the chin in a major way against his former team on Monday. And that had to not sit well with Kevin. So I would expect the gamer and him's going to do all he can to be there on Saturday.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you by Interstate Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. One more before the off-the-wall question. Fran Franchella said that he had, you know, talked with Bill Self. Bill Self said this is not going to happen again in regard to the construction of the roster. Of course, Zuby left, Uday left. I think that surprised some people. Of course, Clements came, he was back, redshirting, so forth and so on. McCullough injury, and then McDowell with the illness, and Harris is 100% with the ankle. And there's only 7 scholarship players, I think it was, on Monday. What can you add to that in regards to Bill Self saying, listen, yeah, this isn't really the best constructed roster we have. Obviously, you couldn't foresee what was going to happen with Arturo Morris. That would have changed a lot of things. You and I documented that last week on this show. But what about those comments of Bill Self about this is not going to happen again in regards to the roster construction?
Well, you know, they started with the scholarship reduction because of the Adidas situation. But they didn't think it was going to be an issue because, well, we've got, you know, a rotation where we only play 8 or 9 once you get into the teeth of the season anyway. So we can go at it with 9 and be fine. And part of going at it with 9 meant redshirting Zach Clements, which was a promise to him that, hey, we still think you can play at Kansas and play meaningful minutes at Kansas, but you probably need an extra year of development because, to be brutally honest, his sophomore season was probably a step back. And, of course, as you know, he entered the portal, left for a couple of months, and then came back. But by bringing him back on scholarship but redshirting him, you know, you obviously lower that number even more. And then you have the defection of Arturo Morris. The next thing you know, you're down to the 9 number that we're talking about. They thought they'd have 10. Now they're down to 9. But with the 9 that they had, you're dealing with a lot of first-year Kansas players. They're not first-year college players, but they're first-year within this program. And no one would have forecast that Nick would struggle this much. He was the most sought-after shooting guard in the portal. No one would have thought that a top 20 McDonald's All-American guy like Marco Jackson would struggle this much. We didn't think he'd be Grady Dick in terms of immediate, 15-point-per-game type guy, but it's taken longer. And so I think there were some overestimations on what certain guys would bring. There were obviously some unforeseen developments with Morris, but they put themselves in a spot with smaller depth to begin with because of the scholarship situation, but also they were kind of betting on, well, we think we have enough anyway, based on the number of players they play. And I've said this on previous shows, nowadays in the portal, where any player of significant worth or potential isn't going to just sit around and be the 12th man at a school like Kansas, like in the olden days when Roy Williams used to stockpile top 50 recruits and you'd have six of them on the bench that could start anywhere else in the country. You're not going to see that now. If they don't get their minutes and their shots in 1 year, they're going to move on. And so we didn't have the ability to retain and establish trusted depth like we've had in previous seasons, or retain and establish highly ranked, in terms of their recruiting prowess, depth, because that's the change that the portal has had on the entire collegiate landscape. But I think, if anything, they'll try to retain players like a Jamari McDowell, for example. Like, in this day and age we live in, that would be a classic example of a guy that didn't play a lot his freshman year and maybe he's looking at a greener pasture. This team might make a stronger effort to retain him because you want to have program guys that have been in your culture and in your system for multiple years that you can turn to. Because right now, what's really hurting this team is half the roster left a year ago, and you were okay with most of those defections, but you've replaced them with first-year program guys that don't have that seasoning in your system. And so when you get into the dog days of January and February of the league race, and the going gets tough and depth gets tested, they're talented. They just haven't been a part of it for very long, and thus the trust at the top for those players isn't as established. And so I think they'll try to do a better job in the future of keeping some guys around multiple years, and then hopefully, some of the guys that they select will click faster than what some of these have this year. It's hard to, and I hate to say swing and miss, but it's hard to have multiple key guys not produce at the level you thought and then lose another one entirely to leave the program. That really puts you behind the eight ball, and that's a rare set of circumstances I doubt we'll see again.
Yeah, I would agree with you. KU at Oklahoma this Saturday, pregame at 2:30. You're home for the Jayhawks, North Central Kansas, Z96.3 The Lake. The voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney, is with us. Time for off-the-wall question. I put this on our Facebook question today, so I'm just going to use this with you. Most annoying sound in the world. The most annoying sound in the world to Brian Haney. What just absolutely drives you nuts?
I don't know. They always say fingernails down a chalkboard. I think that there's... I'll tell you what it is. I got a hands down easy answer. Okay. It's when the smoke detector or the gas alarm goes off in your house because the low battery beep thing, and then you're trying to find which carbon monoxide detector it is that has the low battery, and then so you're walking around and you're sticking your head underneath each one, hoping that's the one, but kind of hoping it isn't because it's going to make your ears bleed.
Right.
And then ultimately you get it done, you get it figured out. But man, when that thing's going off. And it seems like, I don't know about your house, but no matter where I've lived, it only ever goes off at like 3 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
They can't just do it at noon or a normal waking hour. It has to be some crazy late time. So that would be my least favorite sound for sure.
I got to share the story with you real quick since you brought this up. So my whole family, we were in Kansas City during the holiday break just to get away for a day or two. And we stayed at a hotel over in the Legends area. And we were all tired, had a full day of festivities, so forth and so on. In fact, I think we went to the KU game the night before. That's when we saw you. So I think it was actually it was that night after we left, after talked to you after that Yale game, we stayed in Kansas City. And at about 1:30 or 2 in the morning, all of a sudden, they're just alarms are going off crazy. All the fire alarms in the hotel. I'm not just one. I'm talking the entire hotel. And so you're sitting here going, is this a false alarm? Is it a prank? Is this real? How do you treat it? And you're half asleep. And what's really funny is my youngest immediately got his stuffed animals and started shoving them in his luggage. Like, I'm taking my stuffed animals. And of course, Miller, as you know him, I think he grabbed his phone, but he was kind of like, I don't think this is real. And so he wanted to go down and check it out first. And then we grabbed what we thought was necessary in case it was real. And that's probably stupid. We probably just should have run out right away. We go all the way to the lobby and we go outside. And when we got to meet everybody else staying at the hotel who had blankets wrapped around them, everybody in their pajamas. And we had to wait for about 15 minutes at least until they had the fire department come to deactivate all the fire alarms. And the entire hotel was just flashing along with that annoying sound you talked about. And it was doing that constantly the entire time. So it was insanely loud in the hotel as we were getting to the lobby and going out the front door. And then we got to see the firefighters come and the fire truck. And eventually they were able to shut it down. And the lady working there felt so bad. And she apologized to everybody. It's like, it's not your fault. And I think somebody must have pulled the fire alarm. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was a false alarm. Don't know if it was a prank or somebody thought it was a funny thing to do. But, dude, you think the sound you just heard that you were talking about is annoying, and you're absolutely right, within your house. Now imagine an entire hotel doing that all at once. That's what happened to us recently. Yeah.
Man, I can't imagine. But I love the fact that your youngest was saving all of his stuff. That's pretty sweet.
He had his priorities in line. Not really, but anyway. Hey, man, I appreciate all the answers to our off-the-wall questions. Always a treat. Best of luck and safe travels down to Norman to take on the Sooners, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Take
appreciate
care.
It.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jacks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency, the Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Sports Ticket, as always, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.